Blog Talk Radio.
Python Radio, brought to you by Morelia Python Forums, www.moreliapythons.com. We are in the midst of a storm coming through. So, Owen, I don't know if you have paired up your animals tonight.
I have.
I chucked
them together. Yep.
So have I. So we'll see how many locks, if anything, we have on this carpet roundtable number four.
So if a storm's coming, chuck your pairs together, because who the hell knows? So
Dave is has bad reception and is walking around saying, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?" So
if we keep saying no, how is this going to go for the rest of the episode?
So tonight we have some topics that we're going to hit on, kind of lighter topics and keeping it on a more positive swing of things. But I think the only thing that I want to hit on before we get going with the, I guess, what is this, a corner table, since there's only three of us, or what? I mean, it's not a really round.
It's a half circle table.
Triangle.
Yeah, we have a triangle of sorts. Thanks, Dave.
So I want to give a shout out to Chris Behoff, together with what was his name, Luis Weedman. They put together the Carpet Breeder Registry. If you go to www.morelia.trherp.com, you can check it out, and the link is up on moreliapythonradio.com. But basically, it puts you in touch with the breeders of carpet pythons. Some of the I don't know how you get on said list. I guess you have to contact Chris if you are somebody that breeds carpets, and maybe you're on the down low.
To be one of those, like, because I wasn't asked to be on the list. He's like carpet breeders, give me your information, and I threw mine at him, and nobody really kind of griped. But I imagine that if you're somebody who has a pair of carpet pythons in your basement and you've not bred before, you might want to wait until you get rolling a little bit before you try to contact Chris about being on the registry.
Yeah, well,
because even though you got it, you haven't produced yet, so don't jump the gun. So give yourself some time. So.
All right. The cool thing that I saw is basically it puts you in touch with the breeders, because if you click on the name, I guess they're going to fill in the rest of the information as it comes along, but if you click on their name, it's your right to send the breeder an email. So if you're looking for a carpet python, if you're interested in getting into carpets, I would recommend heading over. He also runs a Facebook page, Carpet Python Classifieds. So if you're interested in getting a carpet, that would be a place that I would start looking. And if you see that breeder's list, you could probably connect with somebody for what you're looking for. So since we're heading into breeding season, you can do it like I did it and figure out what pairings or what you're looking for and try to get on the list early. And if you do that, you usually get pick of what's going on. So it wouldn't be a bad thing to get in contact with a breeder now on a project that you might want to get in on. So there you go. So what's going on with you guys?
What's going on with me? I got one thing I want to hit on, and that's pretty much it, is that I saw something on iHerb's Facebook page. I don't know if you guys saw it. Pregnant woman, Brisbane native, her name was Kelly Wallace. She was bitten by a carpet python, a wild carpet python. I think she was outside doing whatever, and she got bit by a wild carpet python and was apparently rushed to the hospital for fear of what might be happening to her. So,
really,
and people are apparently all up in arms about the fact that it was there. And from what the Australians that we've spoken to, a lot of them, I mean, I remember, Michael Cole was telling us that when he was down there, that everybody was like, oh, well, it's nature and these things happen. And, you know, as like a scrubs eating their chickens behind them. I mean, so it almost seems like this overreaction of doesn't seem to be on par with the Australian kind of mentality that I was led to believe. I would have figured she would have been like, oh, crikey, got bit by carpet python, played with it for a little bit, let it go in the bush, and then went on her merry way. But yeah, it was. But of course, I understand. You know, being she's pregnant, and all that stuff. Maybe you want to get some stuff checked out. It was just funny to me, and I just wanted to comment on that. So
wow, cool.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I think we all have this like crocodile hunter esque idea of what Australians are like, and you know, there's
some of them are not. I'm a little disappointed. What's up with that, Australia?
There there are some people in Australia equally as ignorant about wildlife as people in the U.S. You know,
refuse to believe that.
It's pretty crazy how your whole image is shaped of that, because wait a minute, I'm seeing. Oh yeah, I mean. You think that it's one way, and really it's not, because...
Could be another, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's our perception is, like, everybody in Australia is in love with wildlife. I mean, how could you not be, because...
yeah, because Jesus.
You know?
Yeah,
like, come on.
Of course, almost everything down there could kill you. So I can understand if she got bit and wasn't sure on the species. Yeah.
Yeah, that could have been it.
Yeah.
It's funny, I have a friend, an Australian friend, and I met him through school and you know, our school. And so, like, I was like, oh, yeah, so what kind of snakes you have and stuff? He's like, Mike, what are you talking about? I'm like, what do you mean? You don't have any, like...
You guys all don't own snakes?
It's so funny.
How many kangaroos have you boxed? I mean, it's like, isn't that the generic next question? I believe that Steve Irwin has ruined us because... I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever handled or messed with large crocodilian?
No. Well, not large, but yeah, I've
medium size even. Because you look at it and you're like, I got this. I can do this.
Yeah.
And then when your hand's in his mouth, you immediately think that, well, that was a poor decision. So, I did it because I saw Steve Irwin do it. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, tonight we're just going to, like I said, we don't have Dave, so it's just us, but we have some topics that we'll hit on and go around.
Philly Morelia trifecta.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have kind of different views of where, actually, if you think about it, we're all kind of on... and you've been doing this the longest, and I'm in the middle, and Zach, you're... You know, sort of new to
the baby
carpeting and stuff. So it's kind of good to have that different view of everything. So,
Small, medium, cool. Large.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so what's it like cooking with reptiles, Zach? How's that go for you?
the only way I get the spice right in the tacos, you know what I mean? You got to have some kind of reptile on your shoulders, you know, or taco meat don't go well, you know, so.
I actually had tacos today, too, and I did not have a reptile on my shoulder, so we have to compare to see if prepared with reptile and without reptile, which one's better.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny, you post one picture, forget it, you know, everybody's like on top of it. Yeah, like,
tacos. Who does not love tacos?
How come you post a picture of a taco and everybody goes nuts? You post a picture of your blue tongue and nobody cares.
And get shit. Yeah.
What's
the little T-Rex lizard doing? Yeah. So.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh man, they know you have
the masses.
You have that secret Puerto Rican hot sauce that you got going on where your taco.
There it is.
Bro. No.
That's just skink.
That sounds good. That's a
yeah,
good
I had
that stuff.
That's
just good.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, so I don't know if you guys heard the episode. I want to give another shout-out real quick to Corrales Radio. The other night they had a really good show on Emerald Tree Boas.
Oof.
Yeah, it was great.
Emerald. Yeah. It was pretty cool the way they the temperatures that they keep it at. I can't remember Do you remember who the keeper was, Zach? Who the guy was on the head?
Not off the top of my head. Not
yeah,
off
me
the top
neither.
Of my head.
Let me see if
That's
I can.
Terrible.
I know. He sounded like a really nice guy, and he was really into Emerald Tree.
He's been keeping what for 50 years? Yeah. Old school guy.
Norm Freed.
Norm,
so anyway, he was talking about his Emerald Tree Boas, and pretty much the 77 to 83, I think, was his temperatures and where he kept them. So it was,
Jesus.
Yeah.
I was cooking those animals at the zoo. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Wow.
That's pretty
crazy.
Yeah,
he said they actually prefer to be on that lower end, actually, like high 70s, you know, they prefer to be in. Like, they didn't even like to be anywhere in the 80s. In the 80s, they started to be, like, you know, uncomfortable, he said. They love to be high 70s, very, very low 80s. I was like, wow. And then I started thinking about Terry and, you know, his interview. I was like, oh, shit. Man, maybe I'll stop this. You know, like, I was just like, I don't know. I felt it was interesting hearing that this guy who's been doing it for 50 years, like, that's what he's been doing. And it's like now everybody's talking about it like it's new, you know. And it's like, well,
yeah.
Clearly this guy has been doing it for, you know, how many years? And you know, it's not new to him, you know. I think it's hilarious. You know, I thought it was really funny because it seemed like Jeff and Dayton were kind of like, like, taken back a little bit. They're like, wait, what? Like, what's up here? You're keeping them out? Tell me what?
Kind of stunned.
Yeah, yep. I thought that was really cool. And he says, like, during the summer, he just keeps it ambient because he's in Florida, so whatever. You know, the room is about 80 degrees or so, and then during winter, he gives them an 83-degree hot spot. That's not even a hot spot, man. That's like,
that's
kind of warm, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I do. I don't really give them that hot of a hot spot. I think 85 is the highest mine goes, and you know, but I think that, you know, I don't know. I kind of think that makes me feel more comfortable. I don't know if that necessarily is what they need or don't need, but you know, I don't know. So I just got an email since we're kind of light and open. This is from Mark Sullivan, and I always like reading these fan emails, but it says, so I'm reading this off the cuff, so bear with me. It says, hey, guys,
pre-read this.
I want to send you a quick thank you for taking your time and resources to put together a great show every week. I'm a hobby herper and decently new to keeping Morelia, but my Bredeli I got from Justin Julander at local shows has definitely given me the bug. That's how it starts. That's
yep,
my job.
That's what I got.
Nice startup, yeah.
Yep, I got a Brettles from Justin. That's how I started. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's doomed.
yeah, it's right? Because oftentimes during the shows, the topic comes up with guests of a dream, a quote, a dream to be a full-time herper or something along those lines. If it is appropriate, I would find it interesting to know what the guest or you guys do professionally and how your profession is or isn't conducive with your progression in the hobby. Personally,
that's a good one.
Personally, as a product designer, I am at times finding myself thinking that I'm really a professional landfill filler. My constant plastic gadgets doesn't always coincide with my love for nature. It does, however, help me come up with some pretty cool ideas for caging. Anyway, back to the question.
Hey, whatever.
Start asking your guests, do they all have a background in biology, zoology, herpetology, or is profession distant from passion? Okay. So I guess basically what he's asking is, what do we all do for a living?
What do we all do for a living, and how is that conducive to what we do on the side?
Yes.
All right.
Well, go ahead,
Owen. Damn it.
Go first.
All right. But
I'll go first if you want. Go ahead.
Damn it. All right.
We're usually a lot smoother than this, Owen. What the hell?
I know. I'm sorry. I got excited. I was band hammering people before the show. I got all jazzed up, mad with power. Anyway, what I do is by day. I am a nationwide insurance agent in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. I am an associate agent at my father's agency. So he's the primary agent. I'm the second in line. So I'm writing insurance policies and selling insurance all day. The way it helps me is a lot of times I can spend some time out of the office, be out doing some things. I don't necessarily need to be chained to a desk all day. I can be making phone calls and making sales on my phone. So that opens me up for other shows that may take a Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of a deal. It also helps me because my father and I are in the agency together, so I get a lot more leniency than other people with other bosses because it's my dad. So
sure.
That's helpful. So, and if he's listening, that is not a cue for you to call in. Please do not do it. I know you know the number. And I know you could
please,
be listening.
Please, sir, call in.
Just don't
please
do it.
Please call in right
please
now.
Please don't do it.
Yes.
Please
don't.
Do.
What
Eric,
you,
if something Zach? Pops up, you ignore it. So that
well,
way, that is
Dave.
Anyway,
yeah, right.
That's what's helpful for me. And, before I was at Nationwide, before I became an agent, I was a laboratory technician at an animal lab at the University of Pennsylvania. And that, unfortunately, was a lot more constrictive. I mean, animals, especially mammals in a laboratory setting, need watching and medication and food every day. So I had to work Sundays. I had to work certain hours. I had to get called in on holidays. There was no, all the banks and stuff are closed, so we can close down the office, or everybody's just going to call the 1-800 number if something goes wrong or they have to make a payment. We can be out of the office for a few days. So, that was part of my decision to leave the lab it was a lot of work and a lot of, having to get up at 5 a.m. on Christmas Day and get on a train and get into work really kind of sucks. So.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. What about you, Zach?
Oh, man. So what do I do for a living, and how does that coincide with my reptile keeping? This
yes.
Should be good.
Yeah.
I build furniture for a living for a furniture company. It's not a job by choice, but a job by need. I am a art school graduate, so that pretty much means there's no job out there for me. But I will tell you, you know.
you went to University of the Arts, right, Beck?
Yeah, yes, I did. University of the Arts.
In Philly?
Alum.
Yeah, my sister went there, so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Go figure.
Yeah, so, you know, went to art school, love art. Working on getting that art job, but, you know, of course, that takes a while to kind of get your foot in the door. So, yeah, I'm building furniture. I'll tell you what, it has made me quite handy. You know, now it's like, oh, yeah, I'll build that rack. Yeah, no problem. Oh, I'll build that
rack. That can assemble rack with his eyes closed.
You know?
Right.
What else? And as it turns out, my career, what I want to do is, you know, I guess going to art school, you know, I know how to do all the graphic design. I took photography courses and everything else. So, in terms of presentation, you know, I think that helps out with my hobby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing, you know, designing a website or designing a logo or, you know, taking photographs or designing promotional items or designing an invoice or, you know, anything of that nature, I can do no problem without, you know, too much effort. So
right.
That definitely makes things a lot easier, you know. A pedigree, that can knock those out pretty easy, you know, just stuff like that. So that definitely helps. So in terms of that, yeah, that's good. But in terms of my job, not really. One thing I do get a lot, though, from work, you know those, like, giant cardboard tubes, you know, for shrink wrap? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Really good hot. Yeah.
Yep. I use PVC pipes, big ones for my olive pythons as hide boxes or something. They curl up in it and they love it. So yeah, don't mistake, tubes work, guys.
Tubes do work. Yeah, the blue tongues fit perfect, man. It's like, you know, it's perfect for them. So I just get tubes.
Well, their bodies are tubes.
Exactly. It's like they're at home. You know, it's like fits like a glove. It's perfect. So yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, my job is my job. Yeah. Luckily, I do get some free time, and that allows me to spend copious amounts of time on doing things I probably shouldn't, a.k.a. Facebook. So.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, by day, I run a supermarket. I'm the head guy, the big boss. I mean, as far as... helping me with anything as far as reptile related, probably not. The only thing it does help me do is understand customers, because that's my job. You know, selling, sales, running a business, making profit, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I'll often say that a lot. It's like people know the breeding side of it, but when you want to be a professional breeder, what they often don't know is the whole running a business part of it. How do you make a profit? You know, what's the ins and outs of all that kind of stuff? And, you know, that's really important, especially if you're going to do this full time. You know, me personally, I would love to do this full time. Ever since I was little, I wanted to work with animals. I kind of fell out of it for a little while when I went into music, and that kind of became my main passion. But, you know, for whatever reason, I think whenever you're in this hobby, you might fall out for a little while, but it seems like you always find your way back. You know, life happens, and, you know, you may get out of keeping a big collection. We're keeping all together, but I think eventually at some point, you know, you get the itch and you head back and you, you know, you pick up some stuff. I mean, like I said, I mean, personally, really my job, the only thing that it allows me to do is buy nice snakes and,
that's a plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause my job is good. It is a lot of hours. That's the downside of it, you know. I mean, basically, it's like running two full-time jobs. You know, running a collection that's 150 snakes, and you know, doing a weekly podcast, radio show, and working 60 to 70 hours a week is a lot. But I do it because I love it. So, you know.
So is that why every time I'm like, "Hey Eric, what you up to?" You're like cleaning shit, or you're like,
yeah,
that is what he's up to. God.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think at this current moment, like my wife now, she works overnight, and she has for probably the past, I think it's about a year. So, I mean, we kind of just like pass each other in the night. So, you know, it kind of gives me time, but, you know, other than that, I don't have kids or anything. So, but,
there's dogs.
No,
I mean,
I have dogs. That's it. but yeah, I mean that's kind of my thing. So, you know, I hope to do this full time, maybe one day. You know, Zach and Owen, both of you, if I've talked to multiple times about, you know, could you make it work full time breeding carpet pythons or Moralia, or do you have to get into other reptiles? And you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
What I'm kind of doing is like. Yeah, I think you would have to, or you'd have to surround yourself with some people that could work with you or for you that could breed other types. And that's kind of what I've done with Rogue, is start to try to get some people to possibly come in with, like how Justin and Ben got it. Like Justin, Ben, and I forget the other guy's name. I'm sorry.
Justin, Ben, and Steve. Steve, he's the lizard guy.
He's a lizard guy. So they got all those guys, and they all work together to sell under one big thing. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is like the Nick Mutton route to do it, where it's just you in your mass building full of reptile. And you can do both ways. There's multiple ways to do this. There's 9 different ways to skin this cat. It's just finding out which way works best for you. It's the same exact way to breeding carpet pythons. There are 9 different ways to breed the damn things. What works best for you? So maybe Eric needs a facility where he's surrounded by his animals, where we never see him for only 1 hour a day, and he's always covered in urates. But or he needs a staff. He needs a bunch of people who he's got one guy who specializes in colubrids, who can breed the colubrids, and Eric doesn't need to look at it. He's got one guy who does lizards. He's got himself that does carpet python. It's, you know, that's the way it rolls. Of course, I think Eric is too much of a scatterbrain, and he's too interested in everything. So if he had, like, multiple people running different things, he'd be like, ooh, tell me about this. And then he'd be over there for an hour and a half. And then he'd be, ooh, tell me about it. And then he'd be over there for an hour and a half. And nothing would get done. So he'd also need someone to – he'd also hire someone to reel him in and make sure he did the work he was supposed to do. So
– actually, you know what I found? You know, back in 2008, when I decided that I was going to try to breed carpet pythons and do this either as, you know, as a business, if you want to, or a business hobby, or however you want to call it. I wrote, I opened up the big book.
The magic tone book, yes.
Pulled out my quill pen and started to write.
Yes, sat by candlelight in your robes. Yeah.
What I found is, because Owen's right, I do get distracted easily, is that because there's so many cool things out there. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's called Herper's ADD, man. You know what I mean? All right. We all have it.
But the thing is, you can't be one of those people that has Herper ADD so bad that you clear out your collection every 2 months.
Well, here's the thing.
I want to be the best Gila monster breeder in the world, and you have 20 Gilas. And then next month, you're like, you know what? I love Burmese pythons. You sell all the damn Gilas and get tons of Burmese python. You know, and then you're like, oh, you know what? Burmese pythons suck. You know what? I want geckos. Nothing but geckos. And then you sell all those. See, that's where you're bad. You can have Herper ADD where it's like, you know, it'd be great if I have an extra cage over here and I can fit 2 adult womas in it. You know, it'd be awesome. A pair of womas that sit over there, and if they have eggs, cool. If they don't, whatever. So...
I think the one thing that I've always stayed consistent with is snakes, except for a couple bumps in the road. But to me, what I've learned is that
geckos.
I'm a snake guy. You know what I mean? And that's where where it's at. I mean, I've had lizards when I was younger, but they never fascinated me the same as snakes. Don't get me wrong. I like them, and I can admire them from somebody else's collection, you know, and I can appreciate the beauty of what they bring to the table, and they're definitely interesting, and, you know, sometimes even more, what would be the word, social or,
acceptable.
Well, no. I mean, they're more, not, you know, like they're,
they actually
habit.
Move.
Yeah.
They give you more. I mean, lizards and
yeah.
stuff, you know, I know some lizards
more,
that act like dogs. I mean, they do
more
give you more of a personality.
Yeah.
Something about the arms.
I think, though, that what I was going to say is that I found that it's very helpful. That if you really believe in, you know, like something that you want to do or you want to accomplish, at least for me, I like to write things down, is that I wrote down my goal. And whenever I get distracted or whatever, you know, I look at that goal, mission statement, whatever you want to, however you want to put it, and, you know, it refocuses me if you want to look at that. And, again, I can tie that back into – you know, working in a supermarket and running a supermarket and leading a team, you know, of, God, I have 300 employees underneath me. And, you know, those type of things help me in that, you know, like being able to focus on small-time goals. I call them baby steps, where you're going to move to, and having a long-term goal in place. Because, you know, Casper hit on this last week when he was talking about scrub pythons, and one of the things that he brought up a really good point, scrub pythons, why are they not bred in captivity so much? And his basic thing is that, you know, everybody expects to get a snake, a python, breed it in 2 years, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, they
right.
take longer to mature. They have to acclimate to where they're at, you know. I think you see the same thing with probably blackheads and maybe a lot of the other white lips and all that kind of stuff. They're not as easy to breed. People bail on it because they want, you know, they want instant gratification, and then they move on to the next thing. And, you know, I don't know, but you see the guys that are breeding scrub pythons, and they pretty much are in it to win it. They don't really care about anything else except their scrub pythons, and they seem to be the most consistent, at least from what I've seen. You know what I mean? So anyway, that goal, that mission statement, whatever it is that you want to do, not what somebody else wants you to do, is where it's at. If I was to do this full time, I think carpet pythons and Morelia would be the second part of the business, and the main part of the business would be rodents.
Here we go. Hell yeah.
Rodent and cages. Rodent and cages. Done.
Yo, it is so funny you said that because when you're talking about this full-time thing, I was talking to a friend a couple days ago, and, you know, he said he paid off a roommate's college degree. He paid off the student loans by just selling wrenches.
Really?
That's
wow.
it. Just selling roaches. Because he sell a million a month or something ridiculous. Like, he was just breeding roaches.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. You know, at the same time, he had a collection of over 2,000 lizards and, you know, things. And, you know, but the roaches is what fed his collection, and it's what fed his, you know, fed himself. You know, he it was the roaches that made him successful, you know. So it's
right.
like... It's kind of funny. You know, you're right. You know, rodents, everybody needs them. Roaches, at the time, everybody needs. Now everybody knows you can just breed your own. It's super easy. But, you know, at
even
the time
then,
when he was doing it, it was
even
a
then, I know some guy used to sell the wonton soup containers full of dubia at the shows, and he would clear out his table every day. By the end of it, he'd be like, yeah, they're done. And, like, you know, he's done. I'm like, well, Jesus, it's like, you know, it's like, he sells them for $10 a piece, and he brings, you know, 20 something containers. He
right.
makes his bank for the day, and he goes home. And he
yep.
had like 5 or 6 bins in his basement that he just let roll. And he would just
yep.
bring one bin to a show, decimate the colony and then bring it home to recover and then bring the next spin to the next show. And he would just kill every single show. He was coming home with a couple hundred bucks. When we had those big three-day shows, he brought two bins, and he made a killing every day. Because it doesn't matter. You buy the snake, you buy whatever, then you got to get food for it. And if you're not coming to buy an animal, you're coming for food. So, caging and food.
And to find a reliable rodent breeder that, you know, somebody that you know has quality, it's not the easiest thing to come by.
Find it feels good, don't it, Eric?
Yeah, yeah, I'm lucky.
Yeah,
we deal with her name, she's Joanna, and she has rodents that she breeds in, I guess she's in, what, South Jersey, I guess it would be? Anyway, I hooked up with her, and, it's on my way home from work. It's a little bit out of the way, but, you know, you tell her what you need. She freezes it fresh, you know what I mean? It's not like sitting in her freezer for a while. I give her my list of what I need. Boom, it's done. Pick it up the next day. Perfect condition. You know, never see anything that's like abnormal or weird or at all. You know what
that
I mean?
That fresh rat smell. That just fresh rat smell. So
yeah. But anyway, that's if I was to do this full time, that's kind of would be my route. I mean, if I go and I have a good season this year, I would take that money, reinvest it. I think the next thing that I would reinvest would be caging. And I would probably want to move. And wherever I move to, I should be able to afford land, some decent land, I would definitely hook up some rodents. I think it would be better for me and my collection, because they would be at my disposal, and then you sell the excess, you know what I mean? So.
Right.
I'd hire like
it
a part-time,
also helps.
Part-time person to come and run the rodent colony and call it a day. So.
Eric will get a college intern to do all his dirty work, so.
Yeah, I don't want to clean up rodent shit. I want to stay with the snake shit, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. So that's kind of my thing. So speaking of, personal business and all this kind of stuff, here's a topic. Facebook page against a website page. I have some thoughts on this, but Owen, why don't you go first? What's your thoughts? Do you think that the website pages days are over, or do you think that Facebook is the way to go? What do you think?
I think I don't want the days of the web page to be over, but unfortunately, with the society being now, always plugged in, Facebook, people are going to see more things on your Facebook page than they are on your website unless you directly link them there. Now, with that being said, I am getting equal referrals from both the Rogue's website as well as the Facebook page, so I can't even make that call. I think they're equally important, which annoys me because now I have to keep them both up to date. So, and you know how well I am at that. So it's one of those things where it's just I think that they can work together, and they should work together. And, you know, I have a gallery on the Rogue's Facebook page of animals for sale, and I have the same gallery on Rogue's website. Same animal, same thing. When one is sold, it's deleted from both. Now, Rogue's website has more in-depth information for the biographies of all the animals, but I could do that over on Rogue's Facebook page. So it's kind of both, and I am paying for RogueReptiles.com and .net because I don't want that to go some other place, even though I don't have to pay for Rogue's Facebook page. So, I mean, I kind of just see it as now you got another thing to draw attention to yourself. You know, it's another flag out there that has your name on it that can draw people to you. So I think that it would do well for everybody to have both, especially because I can have more on the website than I can on the Facebook page. Like, I have all the terms and conditions. I have the breeding journals. I have all the animals we're working with. I have my bios. I have all that stuff over there. and that's where it stays.
Right.
And you know, I'm constantly directing people to the website because sometimes they get in contact with me and they've never even been to my website or my Facebook page. They come direct in from Kingsnake or referred to me from somebody else or they're at a reptile show. So, you know, I don't think that all web pages are going to die because of Facebook, and I don't think they should. There's a lot you can do out there. I mean, I use Squarespace. I know you use something different, and there's a lot of things you can do to kind of mold that and change that. I have a submission form. All I got to do is fill out on the website the baby number that you want, your name and contact, and then you hit submit, and it emails me immediately what baby you're interested in, any questions you might have on it, and your name and zip code, so I can get you it clicks right back over to like a shipping thing and get you the baby fast as possible. So, yeah, I don't think there should be. I don't think there ever should be one or the other. I think you should use all the tools available to you, and there you go.
Right. What about you, Zach? What's your thoughts? You're the younger mindset, so. I know Facebook is big with you, so.
Yeah. Facebook and Pokemon cards, so.
That's a good one.
I'll pay for that one later, I know, but I just let me have my moment. So.
All right, have it. You deserve it. what is better? I think, okay, this is how I'm going to put it. I think that Facebook should be primary in my mind, and I believe a website is secondary, which is probably the reason why I don't have a website yet, because I feel like Facebook is the hub. That's where everybody, you know, the amount of people that see my Facebook page is way more than the amount of people who are going to see my website on any given day. Guaranteed, without a doubt. So for me, I think that putting my effort into my Facebook page is more important currently. It almost seems like the website is like icing on the cake. I guess there's some people who aren't on Facebook, I guess, whoever those people are, that, you know, want to go to a website.
Do they exist?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know there's people out there like that, and that's cool, but you know, my whole thing is, you know, I find that Facebook is there all the time and you can update it so easily and everything else. Saying that, though, I would love to have a website, and I have plans. Eric, you saw a couple mock-ups I sent you of the website I was working on. And all that. And it was looking good. And I'm kind of – and then I started running out of pictures. And so I was like, okay, I got to start taking pictures first before I actually have a website to put them on, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, I think if you're going to do a website, this this is my warning, fair warning, I think, to everybody. Like, if you're going to do a website, please try to make it look professional as much as possible. You know what I mean? Ask people if this looks good. You know, try to make it easy to navigate. You know, there's so many times where I've seen these breeders, which I highly respect, and everything else, and their animals are fantastic, and then I go to a web page, and I'm like, what in the world? Like, what is this? Like, I think what it does is it kind of does the exact opposite effect of what you want. And
right.
Maybe that's me coming from, like, a graphic designer type of mentality. Maybe I'm thinking, like, you know, a little more critical about those things, probably.
Sure.
But, like, you know, if I'm going to somebody's website, I want it to look polished. You know what I mean? I want it to look like this guy put the effort in, it looks really good, you know. I even see people who I know who, you know, have these collections and they're, you know, even something like, you know, even ball python breeders, which I know have like, you know, that are making a decent amount of money at this, and they can't hire some like new kid out of like art school, give them a couple $100 to design a website for them. Like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like the priorities to me are off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can't just throw somebody a bone here and have them do your website to actually like make sense. I don't know. Or even look at, like, caging manufacturer websites. You know, some of them are so god-awful. It's like, what is this, you know? Or even, you know, I want to rag on, you know, but there's the classified sites, the two big ones we all know, they're kind of outdated. You know what I mean? They're kind of like stuck in like 1998, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, really? Like, I know you guys are making money. Like, you guys don't think that this is an important thing to update this stuff every once in a while? I don't know. Maybe that's me. But I think that if you're going to do a website, you got to make sure you do it right. Or at least ask people, if you know, to critique it, if anything.
Yeah. Read it.
You
know. Proofread it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well,
I'm basically computer illiterate, and I somehow made a somewhat decent website. Somebody like with Zach's kind of design and artistic ability should be able to, like, make the screen come alive and sell me a snake immediately. So,
you know, I think of – go ahead, Zach. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're saying something.
No, I was just going to go into my thoughts on it. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this comes from, again, I'm going to tie it back to what I do for a living, but – you know, I think that if you want something to happen, you have to put it in people's faces. So, like, to me, I'm going to spin this a little bit. I look at Facebook as the lazy man's way to do it because it's so easy.
Right.
You know, to me, when I see somebody, and I'm not knocking anybody that has a Facebook page, right, because I do, and I get it. I understand it. And this doesn't apply to everybody, but my initial perception of what's going on there is that, just like you just said, Zach, you know, you have this super duper collection, but you don't even have the time or the care to present it in a way that makes people say, wow, that's, I don't think you can do that on Facebook page. You know what I mean? Like, to me, a Facebook page is about a quick update. Hey, you know, I was in my snake room, and this is what I saw. Click, snap a pic, and upload to your Facebook page. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, to me, that's not about what you are about as a breeder, collector, you know, whatever you, however you want to put it. You know, if I want to sell something, I put it in front of people's faces. And even if they don't think they want it, they're going to buy it because they're going to, it's a perceived thing. They're going to say, oh, wow, this must be on sale. I'm going to buy it. You know what I mean? So, like, there's an old saying in the supermarket biz. It's called stack it high and watch it fly. And basically what that means is that if you load something up, like you make it look full, think about it when you guys walk into a store, you know, and you walk in and you're looking at this huge display and you're like, oh, my God, you know. They're really in this to win this, you know? This is for real, you know? That all plays a part in what people perceive you in this, you know, online world. Because basically, they don't know you from a hole in the wall. Some people you know personally, others you don't, you know? Their first interaction with you is what they see online. That being said, I've gone back and forth with, you know, what's the right way, what's the wrong way, but I really am putting my time and effort into my website. You know, it's a lot of work. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't think I've done a bad job for not having any clue on designing a website. I've never done it. My website, you know, tweaks from here to there. As I'm going along, I say, that don't really look right, you know, whatever.
It's never done. It's never done. The second you think it's done, something happens. You have to go back and redo everything. Like, I'm like, I'm finally finished, and then eggs start hatching. I'm like, damn it. So then you have to go through, and you have to redo everything, or these babies start eating, and you have to update the all that crap. It is never done. I see now why people hire other people. So your job is keeping the website up to date, because it's almost like a 24-hour job in some instances. There are projects that I have going on at Rogue that aren't even on the website yet. There are projects going on here that I haven't even told you guys about yet.
Right.
Whoa,
what the hell's that?
what the hell, man?
Jesus Christ. I thought I had some kind of in or something, you know? Wow. I don't know.
I don't know about Eric.
Yeah. I think the most important thing, though, with a website, though, is
we
keeping
do know
it
where
up.
He lives, Eric.
Yeah, I know, right? And we are going to pick up a caramel from
yeah. Got nothing. Get out of here.
Yeah. I think the most important thing with a website, though, is that you have to keep it updated. You know,
yeah.
You hear all the time, I've heard it on other radio shows, it's like, you know, the guy comes on or the girl comes on and they're like, yeah, well, what's your website?
I have
and they
a website,
say,
but it's not up to date.
I have a website,
yeah.
But it hasn't been updated since 2002.
So what's the point of a website then?
What do you even have
it for?
I don't know. It's just my thought.
My favorite is still the people who got out of the business and still have a website and still got Snakes for Sale on it. And it's like...
I killed it.
I'm like, you can kill it. Just kill it. I mean, the other thing is, like, when I was first getting into it, on Fauna, I would be like, oh, do you have this animal? Nope, sold it. Then why is it still here? Why is this ad still here? So,
yeah. I think that I think about when I got into carpet pythons, and I remember going to Anthony Caponetto's website and just being totally floored. You know, I just was blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, to meet
careful,
this guy
on that website, you click too many times, you just bought three animals. So
I mean, it's just like it had everything you could possibly want about carpet pythons, and you know. It took you to a breeding page with his, you know, it took you to a species page where, you know, it would give you the species. It showed you his pairings that he did and said such in such year. To me, I think I stole the idea from Ralph Davis that I kind of wanted to do what he did for ball pythons for carpet pythons. You know, to me, that's about creating a buzz and getting people to your page, you know, like, so what I'm working on now is one of the things is, and again, this is kind of, it's going to be forever, take forever, but I think when it's done, it'll be worth it. But I have a section where I have the breeding diary and you can get your lineage and all that kind of stuff. But then I also have a page where I'm going to do it for my animals. I think what it's going to make me do is one, it's going to make me, you know, look at my collection and be like, well, what makes the grade? What doesn't make the grade? Because if my whole thing is about having quality stock of carpet pythons, you know, and cutting edge projects, I want people to be able to see that, you know. The greatest thing that I've ever stumbled upon is Zach taking pictures of my snakes, because I was guilty of this before. I take shitty pics of beautiful snakes and nobody knows
what
the hell.
Yeah, they look shitty, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, I guess so, Eric, whatever. You know, like, and that really helped. You know, I wanted that polished look, you know, and I'm not there yet 100%, but like recently the update that I did is that if you go to my collection page and you click on, I think I have IJ started, the inlands are started and the coastals are started. So if you click on that, right, that'll take you to another page, which will show you those animals that are in my collection. If you click on that said animal, a picture of the animal comes up, whatever pictures that I've had throughout its life, when it was younger, what it looked like, what the parents are, so you could see what the lineage is. And then I have pictures of, I put little pictures of their parents in a block, so that if you're curious to see what the grandparents look like, because, you know, I'm not really going to put anything further back than that, unless you're getting, like, a lineage from me. You know, I'll go back as far as I can. but that'll show you what those generations look like. And then at the bottom of the page, what I did is any pairings that I did with that snake, it takes you to that page where it would show you what the parents' pairings were, what the lineage is, and then the animals in the clutch. You know, so if you ever, you know, like carpet pythons constantly changing hands and moving through hands of people, and how many times has somebody said, oh, yeah, well, I bought this snake from so-and-so, but it was produced by Owen McIntyre back in 2007. So,
goddamn right it was.
You know, so... The idea is that if that's the case, you'll be able to click onto that on my website. And it says, okay, Eric Burke produced this in 2013. You'll be able to go back and look at that. You know, you'll be able to figure out what the parents are, what the lineage is, and if that, in fact, is correct, I did said pairing. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the
right.
idea. There. So I don't know. Is it worth it? Is it?
I think it is because it's all about how you present yourself. I mean, you want to – I think about it this way. If I'm at a reptile show, I don't want to be one of those guys that has animals that were fresh out of a crate in Chinese food containers. I want to have the nice displays. I want to have the nice setup. I want to have the business cards. I want to be presenting myself in a professional manner. To equate this with what you do for a living, Eric, it's you either be you, the guy in the store, in the nice big air-conditioned store, selling oranges that are nice and fresh and on a display, or I can be the guy who's walking around with a bag of oranges at the freeway expecting people to give me a couple bucks for them. So pick which one you want to do. So yes, you should have a website, and yes, you should have a Facebook. And if you want to just have one or the other, that's fine. But make sure that those things are professionally, that they look professional, that they aren't just, you know, you and your buddies or you just being stupid on a Facebook page taking crappy phone pictures of your animals trying to sell them for $50. I mean, because then you're going to get a reputation. It ain't going to be the one you want.
Sure.
I've been kind of thinking, actually, of deleting my E.B. Morelia Facebook page. And the reason is, I'll tell you why. Because how redundant is it on Facebook where you're posting a picture, I'm posting on Morelia Pick of the Week. I'm posting it on Wild Type Morelia. I'm posting it on my Facebook page. Well, where are people going to go? To me, I'm just going by what I know. I've just focused on two spots. One, Morelia Pick of the Week, and two, on Wild Type Morelia, when case may be. That's pretty much it.
If you'll notice, I just do my Facebook, I just do Rogue's Facebook page and the Pick of the Week. That's it.
To me, if I want to get them to my site, it seems silly to put the information on Facebook. Because people aren't going to go there. You know what I mean? They're not going to be like, all right, whatever. Why?
I've been thinking about making it like trying to find a way to get a link to Rogue's Facebook page and be like, for classifieds, click the freaking button, and it'll take you to, you know, Rogue's Facebook page or Rogue's website on the Snakes for Sale page. So I've been thinking about doing that, but, of course, it's a miracle I can even work Facebook somewhat.
I'm really thinking of, and I don't know, maybe Zach, what your thoughts are on this, but I'm thinking of really focusing on deleting EB Morelia Facebook, going to Morelia Pick of the Week or whatever said, you know, spot to post it up. For more information, check out www.ebmorelia.com and focusing on YouTube. I think that you know, to me, I don't know about you guys, but that's a whole different avenue that I don't think is really – I don't think that – I don't know. Who in the Morelia world takes advantage of that?
YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, I know Sean used to do YouTube videos, and Bill did that YouTube video, right?
Yeah, how cool was it when he did it? To me, it's like you're looking forward to seeing it, you know, and it's real. It's an action. It's not just a picture. You're getting more of a feel for what's going on, and I don't know. That to me, that's kind of where
that's a whole other animal, man.
But it makes sense. I mean, can we call it a hobbit's view of Morelia?
Yeah, we can.
Oh my God! Yes, you have to do it now. But
Morelia through the Hobbit's eye.
Yay! Like, just kill me whenever I'm on camera. It's just my chest. But it's what I think you should do is, and you know, Sean did some stuff when he used to film all his guys. He'd be like, "And this is the pairing that's going on." You take the camera, stick it in the cage, and be like, "Look at them! There they are, both of them," and all this other stuff, and that's cool. But what I find is that if you let too much info in, I don't like giving up too much info. Like, everybody knows what I'm doing over here, what I'm breeding, but then there's other stuff that they don't know what I'm doing over here. There's certain projects that I'm not ready to tell everybody about, or also you know, if I fail, I don't want everybody to be sitting there going, oh, my God, Super Zebras are on the way. You didn't get them to go. So,
well,
yeah.
There's always
yeah,
this.
Seems...
Go ahead, Zach.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
It almost seems like, you know, when you start doing, like, videoing, like vlogs, you know, video blogs or YouTube or stuff like that, it almost seems like you're bringing an audience into your reptile room. Now, that may sound
yeah.
great. You know what I mean? But, you know, you're also...
How many keyboard jockeys are out there that are going to start having comments about your... The way you keep your animals and what you do in your cage. So, Eric, you better be ready to start telling people to go to hell.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, you know, you could pan the camera, right? Well, I could be, like, shooting something. I could pan the camera. In the background, there may be a dump in one of my cages, right?
If there's one piece of feces, someone's going to comment on it.
Exactly.
Eric has three cages.
And at any given moment, I guarantee you, there's an animal in this room right now taking a shit. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Any given moment. You know?
Well, the public doesn't know that.
Exactly. It's almost
that
like
way.
It's kind of like, hey, here you go. Look at my room. Please critique me and tell me how terrible I'm keeping my animals. And it's all, you know, it's almost like at least a picture. You're showing the picture, and it's pretty. Like, you don't have to see, you know, like, I don't know, man. I guess I like the idea. It's great. And that's why when I see, like, somewhere the camera sticks or somewhere somebody else is videotaping, I find that much better. But when you're sitting there, you're behind the lens trying to, I don't know. Sometimes it can get a little wonky. I've tried to do some video stuff recently, just trying to get a little more video, you know, talk about my animals a little more, you know, especially with the skinks and stuff. I haven't done much with the snakes, but, and I find that people react well to it, but I don't know, man. I think
you're right. I think it has to be done it's just like everything else. It has to be done professionally,
right.
Which is really why I haven't jumped into the world of, you know, I used to do it a while back, and it's just kind of get a feel for what I had going on, and then I kind of stopped, and I really haven't updated in a long time. But I think that if you do it right, I think that it can add a whole nother element. You know, one of the things that I would love to do, I don't know what this entails or what this project would even cost, but, you know, a couple years from now, I would love to do, you know how, like, they have those, well, the Barkers put out the ball python video. You saw that at my house the one day I was playing. I know there's some people that put out, you know, boa. I think Jeremy Stone did one for boas and such. But I'd love to do one for carpet pythons in Morelia. You know, to me, I think that's where, you know, taking it to the next level. You're putting it in people's faces, and they may be exposed to something that they didn't know even existed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you have to do it right. You know, you can't do this half-ass shoddy video where it's shaking and it's not in focus. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just the point. But,
look at the snake. What snake? All I see is shaking. I mean,
you know, I think that you have to map it out, just like we do this show. It can't be just like, you know, off-the-cuff fly type of thing. You have
shoot
to have
from
it
the hip, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have it mapped out. You produced it, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be some production value to it. And I think it's just like anything else. You're going to get whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
But when do you spread yourself too thin? You know what I mean?
Well, that's true too. You know, I mean, I guess you have to decide what is. That's kind of like what I was saying about the Facebook thing. It's like you're in all these groups and everything is like, you know, there's so many things to keep up with. It's just like, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and that's why I kind of like, even though I'm in those other groups and I go by and I look at everything, Morelia Pick of the Week is my home spot. You know what I mean? That's where I'm going when I'm on Facebook. And if I'm not going there, I'm going to, like, you know, Morelia Python Radio Group, or I'm going to Wild Type Morelia. Because the thing with Wild Type Morelia that I really dig is that it shows what I really love, carpet pythons in their natural habitat. I dig that. You know, even scrub pythons too, but you know, I like looking at the different variants of natural carpet pythons, and it just makes me even think more, like, what do we really even know about what we're talking about? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Wow. I didn't think it looked like that. Wait a minute. What, you know, I don't know. So it's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah. But see, Eric, you're also very focused on your interests, like Morelia, like that's you. Right. So it'll make sense that you're on Morelia Pick of the Week and Wildlife Morelia. And that's the only places you feel like you need to go to get your fix, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when you talk about somebody like me who has so many interests, I can't even like, you know, keep my mind focused on any one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't just go to Morelia Pick of the Week and, like, be happy with that. That's not going to be me, you know. I'm just going to be, I'm like, okay, all right, carpet, yeah, I got you. Right there, buddy, you know, I love them too. And I'd be like, oh, damn, there's nothing here has legs. What's going on? And then, you know, so, you know, for me, then I'll go over and I'll go to, you know, Blue Tongues Enthusiast, and I'll look, you know, I'll post things there. If they're blue tongue related, or I'll go to rare reptile collections if I'm going to post something about my Gurnia skinks, or, you know, one of my more rarer kind of animals, or, you know, stuff like that. And so that way I have, like, my, you know, I don't post everything everywhere. I have specific things I post specific places. And I'm talking about my breeding projects, or I'm talking about updating my animals, and I'm doing all that. I'm doing all of that stuff on my Dark Side Exotics Facebook page. That's where that's happening. Now, my, like, hey, my skin got loose in my room. Like, I'm doing that on my, you know, my own personal Facebook page. You know what I mean? That's, like, more me, you know. Or I'm making tacos tonight, you know, whatever. And then if I'm doing, you know, some skink-related stuff, I go and do that in skink-related places. I want people to see, you know, I know that people are more rarely picking a week. You're not really going to care. So why would I, you know, it doesn't make sense to post things there, or, you know, it doesn't make sense to try to, I don't know.
Right.
So, I, you know, for me personally, I have to have different spots to do different things. I have
Well, let me ask you this question. When you're focused on those spots, right, to me, like, you're not really stepping outside of that. Like, to me, somebody that's focused on many different things, like, wouldn't it the right thing to be do to kind of put it in a spot to where multiple new people can see it, or, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, to me, like, your personal Facebook page, if somebody knows you and they know that you post in Morelia Pick of the Week, but then you go and put Blue Tongue Skink up there, they'll be able to see that you posted it up there, and somebody that maybe is into Morelia might say, oh, that's pretty cool. And then they go and they start looking at some of your pictures, and then they find, you know, Taliqua Pick of the Week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of like you venture to another realm.
Yeah, I guess,
when you don't cross the realms.
Cross the realms. Wait. Where's Casper? Where's Casper at? Talking about the realms and shit.
No, he ain't here. No, Thor ain't here. So.
Exactly.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but I mean, then we're getting to, and then we're just thinking about it way too much, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. When I start thinking about page views, and I gotta get. Well, if I make sure if I do this, I have to make sure I post it there. So hopefully this guy friends me so he can see that. Like, I don't know. Then it gets a little too complicated. I hope that my page, Dark Side Exotics, because I deal with a lot of different things, I hope that that's the hub that people see. That's why a lot of times now I used to post things straight onto Morelia Pick of the Week. I don't do that anymore. Now what I do is I post it on my Dark Side Exotics page and then share it to Morelia Pick of the Week. So instead now people have to go to my page in order to see it. You know how many more likes I've gotten from doing that? Like, you know, it's skyrocketing, you know?
Sure.
Because now people are like, oh, wait a minute, this guy, wait, whoa, Zach is actually Dark Side Exotics. These two people are the same thing? Because a lot of people, you'd be surprised, don't know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times I'm like, who the hell is this guy? You're like, wait, oh, this is, oh, that's who you are. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
I think that helps. So, like, if I post something on Dark Side Exotics, like, you know, some of my skink thing, and I keep referring people back to that page, or back, you know, people are going to go there and see that. And that's where I'm hoping I'm catching people and showing them different animals, you know. But if I didn't put myself out there in, let's say, like, rare reptile collections, I didn't post in there, I didn't do anything like that, people, like, I find it weird. I don't know why, but I've become the blue tongue guy, which I find really funny because I know there's a lot more people more knowledgeable than me out there about them. But, you know, now, like, people are tagging me into, like, blue tongue questions and tagging me into, like, you know, because they know that I know a lot about it. And so now people, you know, now people are coming to me with those questions. So, you know, I don't know. Be smart about Facebook and how to utilize it the best way, and just think about what do you want. When I found out I have way more, like, friends on Facebook than I have likes on my page, and I know about 90% of the friends I have on Facebook are all reptile people, that's a bit of a problem. Yeah. That's where I'm like, wait a minute, like, this is not achieving what I wanted to, you know, achieve here. You know,
yeah, it seems, you know, I gotta agree with you there. It seems like to me, like, same thing happened with Morelia Python Radio. It was the same thing that happened with EB Morelia Facebook page. You know, we got up to a 500 likes, and that was kind of it. And I was kind of like, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Morelia Pick of the Week has 1,500 people in it. You know, there's 60,000 people that download the podcast every week. The numbers didn't, what's not correlate, like, what's,
yeah,
not matching
up? Something's not adding up. Yeah.
Right. So that's when I decided with Morelia Python Radio, that Facebook page shut down. You know, to me, that's no longer there. Why I started the group.
Right.
You know, people want to talk about topics related to Morelia or bitch about things or be happy about things or promote something. To me, that's kind of the hub to where if somebody has a question, that's kind of something directly I can look at, Owen can look at, why we're on air, and we can answer questions if you have something for a guest. I, to me, that's something that if I have a guest on, I can you know, can send somebody to, they can see the picture and it's kind of easy and all that. That being said, I also really invested a lot of time into MoreliaPythonRadio.com. I don't want people to just go to Facebook. I want them to go to Morelia Python Radio because to me, that's the, I always call it the quote unquote encyclopedia of Morelia, you know, where all the species are listed, all the morphs are listed, all the breeders that are listed. You know, you got the any kind of books or literature that's written on Morelia is there. It's all there for you. Links, forums, website pages, you know, anything that you could possibly want to know about Morelia related to the show or something you heard, you know, there it is right there. And that's where I want them to go because to me that kind of sends people to wherever they want to go. Maybe, you know, they heard Zach talk on the show. Well, who's this Zach Baez? They go there, they look at the thing, they say, oh, okay, this is the guy that's in the round table. You know, look at him smoking this cigar. He's pretty suave and debonair. Let me go
and
check
his
out
jacket, his jacket. His jacket, I mean, my God. It had elbow pads and everything.
You know?
Jealous.
So, you guys are a bunch
of
haters.
That's kind of the idea, you know? I don't know. That's kind of like why I abandoned the whole Facebook page because it kind of, I don't know, not depressing, but you're right. There's only so many things you can do in a day. I can't update a personal site, a website for the radio show, a website Facebook page, you know, my own personal Facebook page. It's just too much, you know? So that's why I went the route of the website because there it is. You know, you want to listen to the current episode? There it is, right on the front page there, et cetera, et cetera. So, so I don't know. Yeah, that's that. Anything else you want to hit on as far as Facebook pages? Because I got another cool topic.
Let's go to the other cool topic.
Yeah, I'm done talking about the metagame that is Facebook. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is a good one, positive one. Personal influences, people that have personally influenced you and your Morelia, or dare we say, go as general as far as reptile.
Hobby. Oh, this should be good. Wait, you want one person? You want multiple people?
No. I want your multiple people. You know, let's say I don't know, top five? Did you do top five?
Five's a good. Five's good.
Right.
Five's good.
Go ahead, Owen.
Shit. All right. Five was a terrible idea. I would have to say, well, first I want to start with Steve Irwin. And this is in no particular order at all.
Oh, wait. Isn't that a given?
Yeah, it is. But that is what, honest to God, pushed it to being more of a reptile. I always wanted animals, but having him play around with reptiles on TV is definitely something that pushed me towards that. Two would have been my college professor, Dr. Robin Shidlauskas. And what's funny is that my first day of college, they're going around the room, and, of course, it's full of animal people because I went to school for small animal science. And she's going around the room. She's like, what animals do you want to work with and tell us a little bit about yourself? And every single freaking person was, I want to work with tigers. I want to work with big cats. I want to work with this. And like the person right before me, she stops the entire class and she's like, listen, none of y'all are ever going to touch those animals. You know that, right? Like, wow. If you're ever working in a facility that is even remotely the way it should be run, you're never going to touch them because they will kill you.
Right.
So do you really want to work with them? Because basically you're going to be glorified pooper scoopers if this is what you want. So it's like, oh. And then she's like, Owen, what do you want to do? I'm like, reptiles. I can touch them. So, yeah, that was partially there. The next one would probably be Chris was a very large influence on me to get into reptiles in the first place.
Okay.
I mean, I stumbled into college, and I didn't even want anything to do with snakes. And he had already kept cow kings and a bunch of venomous and a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, my first week of college, he brought a Texas rat into the room that I got to play with, and it was my first real interaction with a reptile, and that's what sent you over the moon. It's one of those, yeah, everybody remembers their first interaction with something reptilian that you know is safe and you can hang out with, and you end up playing, like, you let it run through your hands for hours. So it was a leucistic Texas rat, and that was one of those major ones. Jason Balin would have to be the next one because I kind of came stumbling around Hamburg with some knowledge of carpet pythons and just hanging around his table and kind of zeroing in and listening in on stuff was what kind of pointed me in the proper directions, and definitely one of those things. And he's really helpful with that stuff. I mean, he didn't really kick any of us bright-eyed wannabe carpet enthusiasts to the side, which he could have. So, it's definitely helped out with that. So it's like, four. The next one would probably be my good friend Andrew, who's a monitor breeder, because it's just another facet of the whole reptile industry that I didn't even think to look at. And it's just one of the things. And he's really kind of instilled the importance of spending the money to do it, because there's no point in getting a $1,000 animal if you're going to put it in a $20 Tupperware container with a $50 human heat pad as the heat and shove it in a closet. It's
right.
Like, what did you just do? So spend the money, get the right heating systems, get the right computer systems, get the right caging. If that's still the $20 tub from Target, whatever. But at least now it's being controlled by a computer and all this other stuff. And read the literature is basically
right.
What he's kind of hammered home, and I appreciate that. Otherwise, you know, I'd still be the guy trying to hide snakes in my closet. So.
Okay. Is that five? Okay.
Yep.
All right. How about you, Zach?
Oh, man. Five, huh? I'm not going to say Steve Irwin. Mind you, Steve Irwin was a huge impact. I'm probably on all of our lives. But if I want to answer this, I'm probably going to do it more of like a hobby herpetoculture type of view, not really reptiles in general. But I would say number one would have to be, would have to be Andrew Syke. He was a mentor of mine when I started college, probably 6 years ago. He was the type of guy that you talk to like every day, you know, the type of guy that, you know, you always had conversation with. And he was probably at one point the biggest two-tongue stink breeder in the country. He had a lot of some personal issues come up. He had a fire at his place that wiped out half the production, which is always terrible, right? Yeah. I never talked to somebody so passionate about, you know, these animals before, ever, never heard somebody talk the way he did about those animals. And he trusted me with a lot of his great bloodlines, you know, starting and everything else. And he was just a really great guy. You know, he's one of those guys that, like, I was such a noob, right? I was misting a tank, and, like, the light bulb busted, and I called him, like, dude, my light bulb busted. And he's like, we'll replace it. You know, he was, like, one of those guys, you know.
Unscrew it, yeah.
yeah, you know, where you're total, like, you know, you're a total newbie. You're afraid to do anything, you know, one of those guys. You know, he was always like, you know, Zach, hello, you know. So he was more than just, like, a reptile mentor. He was, like, almost, like, you know, full-fledged, like, life mentor. Well, you know, I was going through a lot of things at the time with my parents' divorce and such. So it was really formative years, I think, in this whole thing. And he was doing it practically for a living, so it was great to have that kind of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, number two. Oh, my goodness, number two. My buddy Joe, he lives all the way out in Seattle. He's really good friend of mine, and you know, he's that type of guy who, you know, when he keeps a chondro, you know, he keeps it in, like, you know, his homemade acrylic cage with naturalistic everything, with plants that come from Papua New Guinea, with, like, you know, like, you know, the whole thing, you know, moonlighting systems and everything else, and, like, you know, his chondros drink out of bromelads, like, that's their water bowls, is plants, like, what, like, just crazy, off the wall, like, totally right. Into his animals, you know, that, and knowing that guy and having that sort of influence kind of really influenced my ideas of what, why I think certain animals are cool and why, you know, certain ones aren't, you know, so because he was into some crazy stuff, big dart frog guy, you know, that sort of thing. Talking to him all the time, you know, great dude. Number three. Oh my goodness. You know, I would honestly have to say, I'm gonna lump these guys together. I would have to say the Australian Addiction Boys, man. Seriously.
Right.
You know, Justin sold me my first snake, which was a Cape York Spotted Python, which I proceeded to kill within like 6 months. Yeah, that's the story, because my thermostat in my apartment actually cut off.
All right.
Yeah, my apartment cut off in the middle of winter, in the middle of a snowstorm, and it froze. And then there's a whole story about how I did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on the thing, but I'm not going to go into that. I think I told you that story, right?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I told Eric that story was. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm stopping the presses. Zach?
Yeah.
Please tell us, as well as the listening audience, the hell are you talking about?
All right. Well,
mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on a snake? Go.
It's possible. It is possible. Believe me, because I did it.
I don't doubt it.
I came home. It was like, you know, through college, right, in my little studio apartment in Center City, Philadelphia. And, you know, I spent the weekend at my mother's place, and I got back to my apartment, you know, to start school the next day. And I get to my apartment, I walk in the door, and I could see my breath when I walked in. And I was like, oh, shit, right? Freak
no.
out. I ran to the thermostat on the wall, like the house, like the apartment thermostat, dead, which is crappy-ass apartment, I should have figured. But, you know, I ran over, I checked on the animals. Of course, the leopard gecko was, like, totally chilling, you know what I mean? It's, like, totally fine. And the one prized animal, my spotted python, is limp as, like, you know, a wet noodle, right? I'm like, shit, this thing is dead. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're good.
Yep.
Okay. So this thing was, like, limp as a wet noodle, and you know, I picked it up. I started, like, you know, of course, you know, being me, I measured the thing because, like, you know, finally it's staying straight. I want to measure how long I got this thing, right? It was, like, I got it at 12 inches. It was 24, you know, in 6 months. I thought that was pretty good. And all of a sudden, I was thinking, you know, I saw it I felt like it was a little bit alive or something, and I ran over to the sink. I put some warm water on it, and I just started, like, massaging it, you know, trying to get its heart pumping again or something, you know. That sort of thing. Started getting it going. And I saw it start to move more, and I was like, I got to get the lungs moving, right? So this is when I did something that, like, you know, I tell my family, and they crack up all the time. I tell a story. Well, you know how when puppies have problems breathing, they say, you know, one way to do it is, you have to put the whole puppy's mouth in your
mouth.
Yeah,
you have to cup your mouth on top of theirs and breathe in for them, yeah.
Right, and their nose, because you have to get both.
Yeah, whole thing.
Right. So I did that to the snake. Stuck the snake's nose in my mouth, kid you not, and just slow breaths, every, you know, slow, and I'd rub it, slow. And can you believe the thing actually woke up?
This is thrilling. Like, this is amazing.
Wow.
The thing woke up. At this point, I'm on my phone with my mother. I'm like, Ma, I woke up. You know, I'm like freaking out. You know, I ran. You know, I kept going. Things started moving more and more. And, you know, every part of his body started moving more and more. And you know, I was like, I'm in the home run here, right? I put it back in its cage, and it was okay. Except it was brain damaged. Apparently, it was
too much oxygen deprivation.
Yeah, apparently it became brain dead, and it had, you know, it was doing corkscrews and stargazing, and, you know, totally like neuro, right? Like the worst kind of jag neuro, you know. And I'm like, well, this is clearly not the way it's supposed to be. It wouldn't eat after that and everything else. And then I actually took it to the vet. I actually got it euthanized. So that's my story. There you go. So I would have to say that
it's like a depressing Disney movie. There was hope, and then it was dashed. like you had to take the old Yeller out back and shoot him.
Oh, no.
Christ.
Yeah, terrible. But, you know, it's funny. It's funny because I'm not the only person who's done it. Didn't somebody, I forgot who it was, but somebody did it with a Walma Python. I heard it on a podcast somewhere where somebody, somehow the Walma got drowned or something, and he resuscitated it by mouth to mouth or something, or CPR.
I think I remember that, because it was like they kept hanging upside down, and a bunch of water came out, and kept doing it again and again and again.
Right, and it came back. Yeah, so it's totally possible.
And I've been told stories of, like, people who were moving and they had all their reptiles in the car, and they popped inside to, like, in their hotel room, accidentally fell asleep, came back out, and all their bearded dragons were frozen stiff, so they just threw them all in the bathtub and some warm water, and they all clicked back on, back to life, and were perfectly fine.
Isn't that amazing? That's so
yeah.
amazing.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Only reptiles can do that shit. So, yeah, and then other than that, like, Steve Sharp was pretty big influence recently. He liked my art enough to trade some art for my tree skins I have now, and that was great. And now, you know, I'm all Egernia all the time at this point, and they're a big reason why I come into the reptile room every day. So I would have to say the Australian Addiction guys, super smart dudes, you know, big influence,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Right.
Number four, I would have to say, is Mr. Jason Valen.
Yep.
Honestly, for the mere fact that the guy did not ignore me at White Plains. may sound crazy.
No,
but,
no, I agree, because he didn't ignore me at Hamburg, so.
You know, the only guy at White Plains with carpets on the table who didn't ignore me, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you know, that was a spark, you know, and you know, he made me feel like my, you know, silly little projects I have in my basement are important. You know what I mean? He was that type of guy. And he's that type
right.
of guy, man. He really is. You know, Jason is, you know, top notch, man. You can't get a better dude in this hobby. So, that's number four. And number five, I know that Mr. Behoff's going to take this and call me a brown noser and everything else. But I honestly have to say, Eric, you're number five for me, buddy. Seriously.
Eric's my unnoted number six.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You know what's funny, Eric? You probably should be number one, but the reason why you're not number one is because I got to keep your head small, you know what I mean? I got to keep your head.
Yeah, you can't. There's only room for one of us with an inflated ego on this show.
Right, and I have that.
Eric, so.
The biggest influence I ever had in herpetoculture. Like, I can't.
We can't do that
and then go hang out and have some beers together. That can't happen.
That can't happen. That's true.
So I would have to say Mr. Eric Burke would have to be number five. And, I mean, the dude never met me, never anything. Guy opened this collection to me, and I was, you know, introduced into Borrelia like I never had before, into what a, you know, what a collection actually looks like. At the time, I had probably, what, four snakes at the time when I met Eric. Now I have, what, 30? Eric, what the hell did you do to me, man?
I'm a bad
owner.
It's been like, what, a year and a half? I don't even know. Anyway, go to Eric's place, go to your place, man, you know, seeing your stuff and talking to you, you know, seeing that literally 5 minutes away from my house is another bigger nerd than I am about some off-the-wall shit like carpet pythons, you know what I mean? Like, what? Like, that doesn't happen every day, you know? So,
no.
I mean, it was almost like, what? Like, this is way too coincidental, you know what I mean? This is kind of strange. So that was pretty cool, and being able to go and do that. And then, you know, just becoming involved in pretty much everything, you know, just by being around you two dudes and you know, going to Hamburg, being behind Owen's table at Hamburg. That was an interesting look at herpetoculture. I've never done that before, you know.
That'll open your eyes.
No shit, right? Now I realize I did not want to vent. Going to Carpet Fest, you know, going, you know, taking car ride down, and fucking Dave hanging out with Dave Kelly, you know, ICAST, right?
ICAST was a big opener.
All that stuff that wouldn't have happened if Eric said, nah, man, I don't think you should come to my house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, all that potentially would have not have happened if Eric didn't say, hey, man, you stranger weird guy that lives in the bad part of town, yeah, come to my house.
Think about where I'm at. If I had not emailed him about being a stupid co-host, the hell would I be? Probably was still like five coastal sitting in my basement.
So, being able to talk to, like, you know, Frank, I never thought I would be able to talk to Nick Mutton, you know what I mean? I was scared to death meeting the guy, you know what I mean? But, like, or, like, you know, anything, you know, just, you know, or even people even know who the hell I am, you know. It's amazing what has happened between, you know, from 2 years or really a year and a half ago to now. It's an amazing kind of leap forward. And that wouldn't have, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Eric, you know what I mean, to be honest. Now, D-Hop will start the memes and everything else.
It will happen.
It will happen, but it's cool because, you know what, I'm not ashamed. You know what I mean? It's all good.
I appreciate it, seriously. Absolutely. That's what it's about, man. You know, I mean, that's the whole name of the game. Well, thank you, Zach. But I guess, well, here's my list. My number one would have to be my dad. When I was a young five-year-old kid, my dad introduced me to the world of reptiles through an anole.
The majestic anole.
Scared to death of the thing. You know, he kind of made me lose the fear of reptiles, of the whole being afraid. He used to take me out into we never actually found any snakes, but we would go field herping. And it wasn't even about finding snakes. It was just about being in nature. When I was young growing up, he was always watching nature shows and, you know, he just really made me appreciate, nature, the beauty of nature. And that as a whole, I remember my grandmother won the lottery, and she gave us all some money, you know. And my dad said, so what do you want to get with this money? And I said, I told him I wanted to get a snake. And he was like, okay. So at the time I had a garter snake, but I wanted something a little more, like, you know, I remember looking in keeping snakes as pets and the TFH books and, you know, like those hardcover, oh, and you probably remember them, like the hardcover snake keeping books and snakes as pets and boas and pythons. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at these species in there, and I'm just amazed at how many different types of snakes there are. So, you know, I really wanted to get a python. And funny thing is that at the time, my pinnacle species was a ball python, because I remember being at the pet shop and thinking nobody had ball pythons. Nobody cared about ball pythons. They weren't like the thing at the time. And it was like, wow, I really want that, because nobody has that. Nobody works with that. Nobody I don't see anybody with that. Mm. Anyway, long story short.
Oh, times have changed. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know, right? You know, my grandmother gives me this money, so me and my dad, and Owen, this is right by your house, we head up to Martin's Aquarium.
No, not there. Oh,
yeah.
God.
And, there was,
no, I used to go there as a kid and play with the baby alligators. And, that was a terrible decision. Like, five-year-old, 9-year-old kids poking at baby alligators. And, like, just future self is now like, where was an adult? Why isn't anyone stopping this child? Anybody? Yeah. No? All right. Let them keep jabbing at the gators. Okay. So.
Yeah, so we went back into the snake department, the reptile department, and they had the bigger snakes on the other side, you know, in the big wooden melamine cages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just had a pair, not a pair, I mean, they had a clutch of Burmese pythons hatching out. Well, not knowing anything about anything, I wanted that, and I really wanted a ball python, but they didn't have it. They only had Burmese. So I picked up the Burmese, and I freaking loved that snake. Oh, my God, did I love that snake. I thought this wick most coolest pattern. You know, all day long I'd stare at the tank, and there it just would lay there. And you know what I mean? It was just like, I was totally amazed with it. I grew it from the tiny little snake coming out of the egg to, I think it maxed out at 19 feet. You know?
Yeah. I remember when I took you to Site B, you and Zach, I'm like, here are all the scrubs, and you're like, yeah, it's cool, whose Burmese python is that? I'm like, really? You're amongst all that shit, and you're, so yeah, like the one animal that ain't mine, you're, okay, fine, so.
Well, that's kind of why Burmese have a special place in my heart, is because, you know, they make me think of those times with my dad and growing up, those snakes, and, you know, when I first got back into snakes again, that's kind of where I went with Burmese pythons, and so that would be my my number one, would be my dad. Number two, obviously, without being said, would have to be Steve Irwin. And I'll tell you why. I know we said this and whatnot, but the dude's passion is what excites me. You know what I mean? You know, I say that word all the time, and people hear it all the time. But, I mean, I really
score, that is one passion for today.
Right.
And
drink up.
See you more.
I just really think that that's the key to the whole thing, man. You know, the guy really can make you care about, you know, things and really make you take a step back. And that's the kind of people that I like to gravitate towards. I don't like to gravitate towards the negative. I like to gravitate towards the positive. And, you know, that's one of the things that I always think about in the back of my mind. I guess my number three would have to be Nick Mutton. I have spent hours upon hours on the phone with Nick. He's always taken the time to talk to me. He's guided me in so many ways, and telling me different things about this whole hobby of keeping reptiles, and you know, he's never steered me wrong, and every time that I've listened to him or taken his advice, I've always had success. So, you know, that's just huge for me. Close number three would have to be Luke Snell. Just like Zach, you're saying about how I let you come over to my house, Luke let me come over to his house. And up until that point, I never saw an adult carpet python. And I took the two-hour trek up to his house.
Yeah.
And
that was long and annoying.
I was just amazed by, you know, the fact that, you know, Luke's just such a cool guy, man. He's just so laid back and mellow, and he's really into his snakes. And he really focused me on IJs because dude was passionate about his IJs, man. He just freaking loved his IJs. And he kind of steered me in that direction. And, you know, I remember seeing a chondro at his house for the first time and looking at it. And he's like, yeah, that's an adult. I'm like, what? He's like, that's breeding this year. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? I said, that's like in a tiny little cube. He's like, yeah, well, they don't get that big, man. You know, you don't have to keep them that big. And he was the first one that kind of directed me in the whole thing about keeping your carpets or Morelia, you know, it's cooler. You don't have to keep them as hot. And, you know, it just really made me take a look at my collection as a whole and really pay attention to what's going on inside of it. Let's see. Number four, I would probably have to go along with you guys with Jason. What a heck of a guy, man. I'd have to say the same things. I mean, here's the guy that when I'm first getting into carpet pythons, his name is attached to everything, you know, Baleen Line Tiger. And, you know, to me, he's like, I know this is going to sound weird or maybe it won't sound weird, but they're like the rock stars of Morelia. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this guy's been doing this forever. And it's like, he's going to actually talk to me, you know? So, he kind of sealed the deal for me with carpets. Same story, being at Hamburg, walking around, wanting to pick something up. There he is. You know, he's the guy that talked to me, and he's like, hey, man, you know, I was there with my dad, actually, and we started talking carpet pythons, and he got me my first coastal in 08, and, you know, it's been downhill, uphill, whatever you want to say, ever since. So
sideways. I prefer sideways.
Number five. I'm gonna have to step outside of the world of Morelia for a second. And
here we go.
You know, my number five is gonna have to be Larry Suttles from Reptile Radio.
That's a good one, man.
And I remember when I first heard Reptile Radio, I was so happy. I was so happy that there was an outlet that I could listen to people talk about snakes. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was like, this dude is a genius, you know? Like, oh, my God. I don't even care if he's talking about anything I don't like. It doesn't matter. You know, I couldn't wait to listen to their show every week, and I always emailed them about trying to get carpet python people on there. And back then I was kind of interested in
this guy again.
Yeah. Keeping Morelia. You know, it's weird to be on the other side of that now, but back then, you know, it's like, you know, I was emailing the guy like, hey, can you get Will Bird on? Hey, can you get Nick Mutton on? Hey, I'd really love to hear Owen McIntyre talk about carpets. And,
liar,
you know,
liar, liar. You had no idea who the hell I was. Don't lie.
I did. You know, because when I would go to Morelia Forum, you know, you were the guys that all stood out to me as, like, I didn't know that you only did it for a couple years, Owen. You're just posting up and reading. I'm like, all right.
Well, then I'm also like, what, like, only 28? So, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea, man, you know, again. But, you know, the guy took an idea and he perfected it. And he stuck with it. I remember talking to him about Morelia Python Radio and the idea that I had. And, you know, the one thing that he said to me was, he said, Eric, you know, make sure that you do it consistently. Don't do it, you know, make sure when you're going to do it, you're going to have to commit to it every week, you know, and we've done that, except for a couple weeks off, obviously, during Christmas.
We did start it on Saturdays, which, you know, I quickly destroyed. So.
Well, I mean, you know, when we did change, we changed to what worked for us, so we could do it consistently. Because I think it's just like anything else, you want to keep it, you know, it has to be consistent. I know I listen to other podcasts, there's probably about maybe 12 of them that I listen to, and as being a listener, as opposed to being the guy that's, you know, doing it every week as the host, one of the things that disappoints me is when I go to listen to it and it's not there. You know?
Yeah.
I drive a lot. I drive a lot. So when I'm driving, I have like an hour commute.
So do I.
It's like,
me too.
You know, when you tack in traffic, you're looking at an hour and a half. So that's a three-hour drive every day. I want to listen to some goddamn Herp talk, and I don't want to listen to myself. So I want to go and listen to somebody else, you know?
Somebody else speak, for the love of God. Yeah,
so when I'm listening to other people and listening to their shows, you know, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. You started doing this, and now you don't have a show. You know, you screwed up my whole week. You know, I'm supposed to be driving on Tuesday, and there's no show to listen to.
We're going to have our holiday hiatus, and I'm going to fear what the Morelia community is going to do without us for a week or two. I mean, I always think every year that, like, somebody's just going to set something on fire. So
I guarantee you
we'll
my drive.
We'll be back. It's okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, my drive tomorrow is going to be a lot less fun because I try not to listen to myself on this show. So tomorrow I'll have nothing to listen to on the way to work, and I'll be like,
Just listen to back episodes.
Let me ask you as a question. As somebody that's coming, you're a listener to the show. What if 1 week you went to listen, and here you go, it's Wednesday, driving to work, and there was no show?
Well,
and what if it
happened
two weeks in a row?
But it doesn't matter. There was that one episode where we didn't start on time due to technical difficulties, and I thought people were going to lose their minds. So it's happened before. We had to delay Morelia Python Radio 2 days, and in those 2 days, we kept getting things. What happened to the show? Where are you guys? It's like, it goes insane. So that's why we try our hardest to make sure we're here.
I'm not trying to inflate it like we're like, the best or anything like that. I'm not.
We are the best.
Trying to
damn it.
From that angle, what I'm just trying to say is that, you know, he really. Anyway, back to Larry. You know, like the consistency that those guys had, and how they, really, kept it going. And I was really disappointed when it wasn't there anymore. And if it was still there today, I would listen to it today. I know whoever the other guy is. I think it's CK. He's a great guy, but I wish that he would do it with Larry. You know, I wish that he was back on the show because I don't know. It's just such a part of what I'm used to, I guess. So
I also think you need to. I'm not just saying that to preserve my co-host ability.
No, you do. You absolutely do.
You do, because you and I talked after you did your first starter episode, and you're like, I hate it. I was just talking to myself. No, I need two people. I'm like, all right. So I wholeheartedly agree. You need two people, and hopefully of varying opinions. Just makes the show more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And it's going to be weird because you and I are on Corrales Radio on Sunday. So, this will be like my second time as a guest on a radio show, so I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. So,
That should be fun, no doubt. That's kind of my thing. I would have to say, if I were to have a 6 and a 7, and again, by no means am I. And now it's going to flip back. Now the memes are going to come at me. But I would have to say Owen, you would be one of the guys that have influenced me as far as you to me are the you're the what's the word I'm looking for? You're the breeder's you're the guy that's like you may not be as nerdy about things, but you know real life. Does that make sense? You know, you may not open up a book and study that this carpet coastal carpet python came from, you know, Queensland on this mountain at this latitude or whatever. But when there's a problem as far as snakes, you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
You live in real world. And I think that sometimes that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really is something that I've relied on multiple times. Dude, what do I do?
Settle down.
The text message. You're like, shut up. Would you settle down, you idiot? Just squeeze the egg out. And I'm like, what do you mean
just squeeze the egg out?
Just squeeze it out. What's wrong
with you? Do
you
use toothpaste? I mean, you should know how to do this.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be.
But you're hysterical, Smack. Yeah, I mean. So.
I think you're talking about balance as far as a show and whatnot. But I think that as far as this show, I think you bring the balance of the. I think I could get more into the nerdier stuff, and I think you smack me into what reality is. You know what I mean? Like, pay attention. And you bring a humor to it where you make it fun. So
there was I think the best one back and forth we ever did is Dalen was on the show, and you were like, and that's what the reptile shows are all about, is imparting knowledge to the public. I'm like, really? I thought it was for selling snakes. Shit. I've been having that one the whole time.
Yeah.
And you were like, why? Why do you got to do that? So,
And as much as, and again, as much as Zach thinks that I influenced him, he's influenced me with just looking at the reptile world as more than Morelia. He showed me some different species. What I think about Zach, and again, this is why I bring certain people into the fold, Zach has a passion like no other. Sometimes people take him wrong, but I don't think that he comes from a negative place. He comes from he really has heart on what he's saying. And that's why I wanted him to come on this whole roundtable thing, because he has a lot of knowledge. One of the things that kind of like opened up my eyes, so to speak, when he came and took pictures, you know, it was like, wow, this dude is like really into, you know, he can really make this stuff, like looking at colors and making it come out, really impressed with that. But I remember when we were at Carpet Fest and we were walking around at the Baltimore Aquarium, and just the level of general reptile, not like, I think I know a lot about Morelia and reptiles, but then, you know, this is a whole nother level. Like, you know, he's telling me about the plants that are, you know, that this thing is by. I'm like, dude, what are you even talking about? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, it only makes sense, you know. It's like, it has to be, you know. And, no, I don't know. I just, you know, it really makes you look at things a whole different way. So, you know, that would be I know I extended out the list, but I couldn't not have you guys in there. So,
A lot of love in this room right now.
It's one big love fest.
That has to stop. So.
Well, it's true. And, you know, one of the topics, I know we're cutting close on time, but one of the topics that we were going to talk about was the most exciting pairing that you're doing this year. I happen to be standing in the reptile room right now, and right in front of me The albino and the exanic are locked up. Locked up.
I'm going to check my shit.
I'm glad I put them together. And then
yeah,
I look.
It's the stinking storms every damn time. Storm rolls in, things start breeding.
I'm looking down at the next cage. I'm looking at my IJs. Locked up. So that's pretty exciting. All three, I didn't post up the picture of Poison Ivy, but this little dude, man, he's getting it done. So
nice.
There you go. And also, I'm looking at, I got some people questioning whether or not this little guy could get it done, but the Granite Jag, he's locked up with the Zebrahead. So, there you go.
Oh, my goodness. Wait. How can you pull all these pairs together one night, a couple hours later, you get all these lockups? My Lord.
Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky like that. My current situation, all my white lips are in their burrows together, which is a fantastic sign because they don't breed out in the open. If you see your white lips breeding, you're lucky. So I'm hopeful that we got something cooking here, but we're going to have to see. As far as everybody else, that's downstairs, and I'll have to wait till I'm off the phone because I don't want everybody to hear me traipsing through my house to go check on things. So we'll have to. I'll let you know.
So, what about you, Zach? What's your most exciting pairing for 2014?
Oh man, you know it's funny. I only have one pairing planned.
Well, there you go.
Well, that should be it then.
So of course, you know, this one pairing is probably the utmost importance. Which is funny because it's. Dare I say, coastal to coastal pairing. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. I got this female from Mike Curtin, and Frank Roberts owned the father to her, which was this crazy gray, almost like exanic looking coastal. And she's just awesome, man. I can't get enough of this snake. She's just so cool. And she's 3.5 years old now, so she's finally ready to go. I weighed her. She's at 1750. So for me, she's in there. I wish she was a little bigger, but she's in the running. Her age tells me that she's good to go. And the male I'm using is the brother to the female I used last year, which is my Empentu Sylvester outcrossed male, who's awesome. So they're in together now. But see, what I did do, which I kind of regret maybe, is last night I fed them both.
Uh-oh.
I fed them both last night, right? And I tossed them in together. One, because she has a crazy feeding response. I figured if she was only full.
Rather than have her swing at him.
Maybe she won't take a swing at him. I don't know. I fed him because, I mean, the way he was roaming last night, I've never seen a snake roam like this. And he was just destroying his cage trying to get out. And it could be because there was rat scent in the room because I was feeding everybody else. And I actually specifically went back upstairs, grabbed another rat just to throw out for him because he was looking a little rough.
If I can interrupt real
now,
quick. Hey, guys, gold white lips are locked.
Nuh-uh.
Gold white lips.
I demanded
that right
picture.
Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me? I nearly got tagged looking at them right now. I ain't taking pictures. I lifted up
they're
their burrow
up,
and their tails were. I lifted up their burrow. Their tails were locked, and I'm like, shit. So I just dropped everything and closed it up, and so nope, no more touching. So, yep.
Wow.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Very cool.
All righty. Back to my lame
sorry,
story.
Continue.
Okay.
Sorry.
He probably like just came in and chopped it. All right. Yeah, so no, I tossed him in there today. He actually tried to go in the hide with her, and she wasn't having any of it. You know what I mean? She just totally, like, literally pushed him out of the hide. And now he's actually on the perch, totally effed up, looking for food. So who knows? Hopefully in a couple days they'll digest and maybe he'll try again. But he did try to kind of mess with her, and she wasn't having any of it. So
hopefully she'll come around, or they'll come around. Or they'll come around.
What I found last year was that, you know, I cohab them, so I just keep them together all season long. Until literally she's like days away from laying. So this is just
that's
one
what I do with my eyes.
Yeah, it's just one of many steps that's going to happen. So, you know, I usually get the same result the first time I introduce anyway. I haven't even started cooling, really. So, and like, I am a little bit late on that, I feel, but, you know, at least it's together now, so.
Well, you know, it's funny you'd say about cooling. I don't know if this has anything to do with all the lockups that I'm seeing, but what was the day that it got really, really cold? What was that, yesterday or the day before?
Two nights ago. It was freezing.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what broke the night that my it got really cold?
The heat in the room.
No, my heat in my house.
Oh.
Your house?
Yeah. So the heat
in
my house.
How badly were you panicking?
Oh, my God. I was freaking out. But here's the thing.
I didn't get a phone call.
Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning. What the hell? Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
Do you have open cages? What?
Well, what I do is that I have a separate heater that's in the room. I don't really use the heat of my house for the room heat. I use the heat, like, you know, like one of the little oil-filled heaters. So even though that was running at full blast, it got down to 70.1 degrees. So it was pretty cold. And probably the lower you got, it's probably even lower than that in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what I did, though, is the following day when everything was back up, I just blared the heat in the room up to get it to 85. They seem to be, you know, I haven't had any problems, knock on wood, with anybody looking sick or anything, but I don't know if that little blast of cold made them, because I've been cooling them down for 3 weeks, though. You see what I mean? So, like, I've been gradually lowering it and lowering it, lowering it. This thing just kicked it down, and I don't know, the outside weather correlates with the inside of the room being really cold. I have no idea, but
maybe.
You know what I'm saying? So they know it's cold outside, and now it's cold in the room. So maybe they're. So I'm just leaving it at that temp now because that's the lowest that I'll go is 70. So I'm just kind of like leaving it at my nighttime temp at 70 degrees, and then following it with a 84, 85 hot spot, 82 ambient in the room. But, man, you know, it's funny. It's the only time I ever got my wife to go into the reptile room willingly because the house was freezing. You open the door and it's like, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God, so warm in there, you know.
Yep.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because that little cold snap that we had, I came down that morning and I'm like, what the hell? I opened the door and it was like, it felt so like usually when I, of course my room's in the basement, usually when I open my door I feel like a brush of warmth come towards me. I opened the door and nothing. It felt like I was just in the basement. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, and I'm looking, I look at the temperature on the wall, it's like 75. And this is like midday that I'm seeing 75. I'm like, holy shit, I mean it must have been like down near the 70s. I mean, my temperature, you know, thermostat in the room was set the same, but I guess I didn't have enough juice going to it, so it couldn't keep the room as cold, I mean, as warm.
Right.
But I did notice, like, it seemed that every, like, my males were all freezing. Everybody's freezing now. I wasn't seeing really no real action out of the males, and now it seems like everybody's on the move.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know, man. I'm on the fence this year. I may be pulling one of those Eric's second year, you know, like what you just pulled last year.
Oh, is that a term now?
Yourself, you know what I mean?
Sophomore slump.
Sophomore slump.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I don't know, man. I'm thinking, like, do I really need a cool? Like, is that really necessary? Like,
I am doing the same thing right now. I had a little bit of a brush with somebody getting wheezy, and then I totally started tweaking out, and now I'm, like, doubting every single temperature adjustment that I do. And it's like, oh, and just stick to your plan. Do what you do every year. If you fuck it up, you're going to fuck it up, and you're not getting any eggs. Just do what you normally do. And yeah. I normally never see the locks. I mean, I like, I'm home. I'm not home most of the day. I maybe catch one or two locks from certain animals. Let's put it this way. I'd have all last year. I had four clutches last year. I saw one lock from one pair of animals, and that pair of animals didn't even get any eggs. So,
wow.
You know, it's like, so everything's on the fence kind of wise. So I'm totally kind of tweaking out about it, and luckily the one that was getting a little wheezy on me, he's okay now, and now I'm hesitant with using him, which sucks because that's my jaghead granite. So,
ah,
yeah, a couple of years over in EB, Morelia made him soft, weak, and now he can't handle being over here. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the other cool pairing I have, I don't know if I should let this cat out of the bag, but they're a lot
better
too. I have a jaghead exanic going to a caramel. Not a big deal as far as I'm not going to get anything that's proven, but to have a shot at possible ghost jag.
Ooh. That's cool.
It's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only ones that aren't locked up that I wish that were is my M-Pen to Sylvester. But I'll be patient.
I'll wait. Can't ask too much in one night.
Yeah.
You're doing that M-Pen male to that to... I mean, wait. You're doing the Sylvester male to an M-Pen female, huh? Straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a really,
awesome.
Really nice one. That's at the top of
Wild
Type Morelia. Yeah, her.
Yeah, but yeah, that when those two lines kind of just do their thing, man, it's a beautiful outcome. I mean, I have my M-Pens with Ulsters, and I freaking love them to death, so, yeah.
Yeah, I held back a pair of M-Pens from last year, so.
Yeah, they're cool. Wow. Coastals have kind of, like, taken my eye at the current moment.
Yeah, hey. Me too.
There's cool something
stuff.
Else. Eric, you might have normal jacks cooking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in with one of my girls right now. Who knows what he's up to? So,
right.
Yeah.
They're getting wholesaled. To rogue reptiles.
Oh, yeah. So.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm kind of trying to stay away from Jack. Go ahead.
Mm.
The only reason you're going.
The only reason I'm kind of getting away from, I don't know, I'm kind of like, debating the temp drop is, you know what, man, these chondros are making me soft, bro. You know what I mean? What's wrong with that? Like, my carpets, I don't worry about, you know what I mean? But my freaking chondros, I'm like, good lord. Like, oh, I can't, like, you know, I'm tiptoeing around these animals, you know? It's like, what the hell is going on? Like, why am I scared to even look at them, you know? It's like, what the, I don't know, it's weird. It's very weird, and I can understand a lot of people say, chondro guys are very paranoid and yada yada, but I understand now. I don't know,
You have chondroiditis.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden you believe that the snake that sits on a stick and green is somehow different than, you know, the snake that's on the ground.
Yep. It's funny.
Nowhere.
It's so funny because I always say, hey, oh, they're the same thing, man. Man, chondros are easy, and now here I am, like, what if I drop temperatures? What are you having? And today I'm looking at, you know, I got these, my melamite cages, I got them secondhand, and so they already have, like, humidity gauges in them already. Like, I didn't put them in, they just came that way. And I'm looking at them, and it says 25% humidity in the room. And that's pretty dry. I mean, that's not even average, you know. So it's like, now I'm thinking, like, oh, is it too too dry in my room. I'm like, wait a minute, Zach, you don't even believe in humidity. I'm like, oh, well, what if it's too dry in my room? And you know, and I'm thinking, like, oh, what if I have to buy a humidifier to keep my room? I don't know, man. I'm bugging myself out this year. And the only reason is because I have damn chondros.
Don't worry, I bug myself out of every year. Every year I'm like, I know I didn't get any eggs. Nobody's grabbing. I got nothing. So, and there's always a conversation that Chris and I have, like, every year where he reminds me of, didn't we say this last year? And didn't you get how many eggs last year? Like, will you freaking just trust yourself by now? I'm like, yeah, no, I didn't get any. And, like, next week I'll be like, oh, yeah, Trinity laid 32 eggs. Yeah, it's like, so, yeah, I know I drive him up a goddamn wall with these conversations that we have to have every freaking March, but, yeah. So.
Nice.
It's one of my own things, but I didn't think it. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, when I bred, I had chondros in my room, and I didn't worry about them, so I don't know. They did fine.
Yep. Yep.
I never worry about them. So I think if you approach it where you don't worry about it, you'll be fine. I think once you start worrying about it, you know, one of the things that I caught from Corrales Radio with, I forgot his name again already. I think, what was it, Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was talking about emerald tree buzz, but he's talking about how you just leave them the hell alone, man. You know, like, if you're constantly prodding at them and trying to, you know, just watch them and pay attention to what's going on, being a student of the serpent and making sure that you're paying attention to what they're telling you they need. One of the cool things that I thought that he had was he said he had two warbles in his cage, one on the bottom and then one up
one
at
on
the top.
The perch.
Yeah. And the snakes went.
Yeah.
Bathroom in the one on the ground and drank out of the one on the top. So I don't know. You can learn stuff from everybody, man. That's why it's important to pay attention to not just what's going on inside your world, but you know, the whole big thing. So. So yeah, we're in overtime now, and I was worried that we didn't have enough topics to talk about, but it looks like we had too many topics to talk about.
Yeah, you sent me the rundown
again
of all the stuff that we're supposed to hit on. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, that's a lot of stuff. I'm like, oh man, there's no way we're gonna get to half of this. So okay, everybody.
That keeps us for next time. That's all. You know.
Yeah.
I just wanted this one. You know, I know that people probably respond to the more heated.
Hey, sucks, buddy, you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And everything, but I just wanted to have something that was more, you know, laid back.
Upbeat.
And, more of a thing.
It's the holiday season, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yep.
So yeah, I guess.
What do we got coming up?
Well, next Sunday.
This Sunday, you're December 1st, or am I wrong?
No, you're right. No, I think it's December 2nd.
Oh.
Yeah, December 1st. I don't know, Owen. It's Sunday. It's
damn it. What the hell is this world coming to? I'm correct and you're wrong? Jesus.
Yeah. Didn't happen a lot this week. But anyway, we're going to be on Corrales Radio. and we're going to be guests.
Weird.
It's going to be kind of cool to just sit back and talk and hear what people want to hear us about.
Those guys over at Krauss, do they know what they're getting themselves into? I mean, are they prepared for this shit?
I don't know.
Jeff knows. I don't think Dayton knows, though. I think Jeff knows.
Jeff knows? All right, well.
Jeff's got to know. Jeff's got to know by now. You know what I mean?
Jeff was on here. He should know. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
So I guess we're going to be talking about Morelia and carpets and hosting a radio show. And I
do nothing. I just show up when Eric tells me. So, yeah, I mean.
No, should be cool. I hope that, you know, Owen, we kind of have a good we can read each other without being in the same room type of thing. So I hope that we're able to do that without our, you know, the way that we do that with, you know, like having an outline and producing the show and type of thing. And
right. I'm thinking we're going to have to go back to our old ways of, like, messaging each other via Facebook while we're on the air. So, we have to backtrack this one.
So we're going to go, and this is a crossover type of thing. So we're going to go into the world where people are keeping boas and tree boas and all this cool type
of... talking to these people about eggs.
We're going to be telling them about the world of Morelia, so it should be fun.
Cool.
And then for us, we're going to follow that up with Tuesday, which was, I know I said on the last episode that it was going to be us talking about the breeding season, but that's going to be me and you. So next week is an Owen and Eric episode where we're going to go step by step. I think this is a good time to do it. Through the breeding season, we're going to offer up our tips, tricks, things that have worked for us. That's going to be a lot of me asking Owen questions because only doing this a couple years. I don't have the experience that he has, but I can tell you what I'm doing and what worked for me and what didn't. But I think the one thing that we're going to hit on for me is maternal incubation. That's where I can talk about what I had going on. So, yeah, I just wanted to have an episode to where people could listen to it, especially with this time of year. They could listen back. They could reflect upon it, make their own thoughts, decisions, you know, look at the behaviors of their animals and kind of make their own conclusions from what we're saying. So should be good. Then we have another episode, which I don't have a guest booked yet. And then our holiday show, and then that's it. We start all over again next year.
The holiday extravaganza. You have to make it sound better. Yeah.
So the next couple weeks are a lot of going to be me and Owen just, talking about...
winding you down the year, winding it down.
Carpet pythons. We'll hit on our favorite moments of 2013, the animals that kind of... stood out to us of what we thought were memorable moments and, cool things that happened. So it should be fun. I think that's all. The only other thing I have is we have till December 1st, by the way, to nominate Morelia Python Radio for the radio, reptile radio show of the year. So if you haven't already done so, make sure you head over and show us some love.
And then we'll be nominated, and then, of course, there'll be another voting for who wins the radio show of the year, but that'll happen after. So this is just getting us into the nomination round. So show us some love, and we'll hang out. But I think it'll be awesome. So
that voting is going to be a daily thing, so you guys better, People better not be lazy about it. You know what I mean?
Don't you worry. I got
this. Okay. Slamming across the globe.
I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm going to be harassing people until I know that you voted each day.
All right. and I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you.
I got it.
All right. That's kind of what we have going on until the end of the year. So the good thing is that come January, we're only 5 months away from Carpet Fest.
Holy shit!
There you go. So how quickly the world turns.
I love Carpet Fest.
We're going to try to do some different things this year and whatnot, but...
You and I have talked, and we got some plans in motion. See it turning.
That's all I got. The only thing that Zach, let's get your info out there. What do you got? Where can I get in touch with you? Where can we? What is it? DarkSideExotics.com or what?
If you want to get in contact with me, just hop on Facebook, please. Please get a Facebook account. It's important. yeah, just contact me there at Darkside Exotics. That's Darkside is two words. Or you could just contact me as Zach Baez. That's Z-A-C-H-B-A-U-Z. And I'll message you or whatever. Contact me through there. I'm not shipping. I mean, I'm done with selling this year. Not that I really try to sell much this year, but it's about done. So
today was my last day shipping. So
yeah, it's done. It's way too cold, man. I'm not risking anything out there. So I mean, which is good. I literally have not sold one baby this year, but I haven't really tried. So I mean, that's that. But I will be up there with everybody. And you know, it's like, hey, you know, most of them are jungles. You know, you kind of want to see those things color up a bit before you sell them. And so anyway, yeah. So nothing for sale currently, but just you know, check it out, man. I'm always posting some stuff, and you know, I just posted up a video of my blue tongue eating a mouse, which people find interesting. So maybe if you want to see some cool legged action, check it out.
There you go. I can vouch for the jungles. I've seen them in person. They're very nice. There's also a couple jags in the mix that kind of stand out to me as stellar. Zach could have sold a snake if he would have sold the coastal, but he only got one of them in his clutch. So
I kept it.
He's holding on to that one, and I don't blame him. But if you're in the market... Yeah, right. If you're in the market for some striped jungle stuff, I've seen them. It's nice, good stuff. So I'm sure when you're ready to ship again, those babies will be colored up nice and bright, and yeah, you'll be able to sell them pretty easy. So there you go. Okay, so go check out the Facebook Darkside Exotics. Have morning coffee with Zach. There you go. Let's see. For us, MariahPythonRadio.com, I'm going to refer to it from here on out as the Encyclopedia of Morelia. That's your go-to spot.
Oh,
and we'll point you in all directions of everything Morelia. It's a work in progress. Check it out, especially keeping up with the species of the Morelia complex and the morphs of the Morelia complex. I'm still waiting for some locality type pictures of some chondros. I'm looking for some sarongs and what are some of the other ones? I can't think. Like some of the oddball localities. The Cyclops Mountains and all that kind of stuff to post up there. Obviously, you guys get credit, and I link it out to your sites. So if you are listening and you have them and you want to show off your animals, by all means, put it up there. Remember, it's not for promoting. I'm not looking to promote the radio per se. It's just having a spot where the whole kind of, you know, because each part of Morelia has its own little niche. I'm trying to have a spot where they can kind of cross each other. So that's the whole idea of MariahPythonRadio.com. If you have any questions or comments for Owen and I, be sure to send that at info@MoreliaPythonRadio.com. If you want to say how excited you get when Owen slams the band hammer, by all means.
Sometimes that has to happen.
That's right. No Morelia for you. You know.
No, done.
Yeah, you're out.
Get the fuck out.
And for me personally, by all means, go over and check out EB Morelia. You can see some of the pairings that we have going on for 2014. Another little thing that I did, it's actually kind of neat, MailChimp. It's a little thing where you can do a newsletter, and I know we're going back and forth with this magazine and whatnot, but I have them both for Morelia Python Radio and EB Morelia. EB Morelia in particular, you want to sign up for that, because if I give any kind of discounts or anything like that, that's where it's going to be going through. First shot at pairings or, you know, maybe secret projects that I'm working on, that's where that newsletter is going to go through. So you can go over to the website, sign up, and look forward to that. As far as Morelia Python Radio newsletter, I'm thinking maybe once a quarter and hitting on some topics. If you're interested in maybe lending a hand in something like that, you know, you can contact us. And maybe you want to do a little article or something like that, or maybe you have a tip or some information or whatever the case may be. But you can get both of those on the websites, www.morelliapythonradio.com and www.ebmorelia.com. That's all I have. Head on. Oh, all happy right. Thanksgiving to everybody. But
all right. So what we'll do is you can definitely go on to rogue-reptiles.com, find out all the latest stuff that's happening down here at Rogue. You can also like Rogue at facebook.com. That'll be your one-stop shop for the latest and greatest things happening here.
Can I pause you for a minute, Owen? I'm going to pause.
Pausing.
Yep. I'm going to give you some atmosphere music. Let's try this.
Go ahead. Please, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, wait.
I'm waiting for my atmosphere music.
It's coming. It is.
It's not coming fast enough.
Yeah, it's there. Can't you hear it?
I kind of can hear it. It's like elevator music. All right. Okay. What? Better. Much better. Stop it. All right. Also, you can catch up with us at December 7th at the Hamburg Reptile Show. That'll be probably the last show we're going to be doing this year. For everybody who's traveling this holiday, please be safe. Come back and listen to us on Tuesday. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch you all on Tuesday for some more Morelia Python Radio. Good night.